Good morning, everyone. Right, I'm not texting while I'm speaking, by the way. I'm going to try and use my phone with my Bible. I've got my standby behind me just in case. However, it is to be sunny with occasional showers. And okay, so it's not too long a message this morning. I think it's a very important message. I know it's a quite important message, but it's been quite a struggle to get this message out, even now, as you'll hear. But I think the devil doesn't actually want this sort of message to be heard. This message is about why do we pray? Why do we pray? And it's something I've not really thought of. We do think about how, we do think about what, but we don't sometimes think why. And I think it's important that we get that in our heads, and I'll explain why in a moment. One writer said he came up with 50 reasons why we pray. So we could, in theory, be here a long time. But then he said, fortunately, I condensed it down to 4, which I thought, yes, that's good. Now, I've just got a couple of those reasons, because you can have a lot of different ones to go through. So I got 4, but to be honest, I got 2, and those 2 split into another 2, so that's 4 as well. So we'll stick to about that. I want to start really by asking the Christians here, just ask him that question. If you're willing to shout out and share just one line answers, why we pray. But I'm going to give you a few minutes to think about it, okay? So I want you to. I'm going to ask you to give a few suggestions in a moment, though. Anything counts, and anything goes. But if you ask people a different question, if I just ask you yes or no, is it important to pray? And everybody does say yes. And then if you ask, and no judgment or anything, do you think you pray enough? And you generally get a no answer. And this is what another writer was saying. You generally get a no answer. We know it's important. We don't always pray enough. So I want to keep this a bit interactive, as I say. Hopefully not too dry. Hopefully you get your input. But it's something to bear in mind in your head. We think it's important. We don't think we do it enough. So why do we pray? We don't want it to just be head knowledge. We don't want to be thinking, oh yes, why do I pray? Oh, I've got these 10 reasons or these 20 reasons off the internet or these 9 reasons in a good book. It needs to go beyond our minds and even beyond our hearts, and has to go to some sort of reason why we're praying to God. Another writer asked a slightly different question. He said, why ask why? Because you do pray. So why ask why? This is my preamble, okay? Why would you ask why? And then he put it like this. He said, there's a lot of people work for me, and generally they tend to work better when they know why they're doing it. You tend to actually get engaged with something when you actually know why you're doing it. And the same goes for prayer. Why you're doing it is the basis to understanding why you do it and get on with it. So we get to the topic itself in a moment. I would like to read, this is where we see if technology stays with me. I would like to read from Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 9 onwards. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed meaning holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts or sins or trespasses, depending on your version, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or from the evil one, depending on your translation. And if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses or sins. Now, I read that with a purpose, because we are not actually studying those verses, okay? But the purpose is this: if you forget everything else this morning, here's your starting point. This is how Jesus taught his disciples when he was asked, "How do I pray?" So if you switch off now, and for whatever reason, remember those verses, because those are the starting verses for us if we want to learn to pray, if we want to be earnest with the Lord. Jesus himself teaching people how to pray. Right, so as I said, no pressure, but some ideas. I've just shut technology, so that's not going to work either. Some ideas from Fanny's Family Church. Not from the nation at large. Okay? Not even from Wales. It is the nation at large. Yeah, sorry. I was thinking of Great Britain. Not from the nation at large. Fanny's Family Church. Why do we pray? Building a relationship with God. Yes, so we can get answers. Yes, us and others. Yes. Sorry? For love and comfort. Yes. To get stuff off your chest. Yes. Stu, I'm down for the pastor to say one. Why to see God's kingdom come? To see other people saved. Any other reasons at all? Any reasons you pray? Excellent, Mary. We actually pray for everyone because they need those prayers. Any more? For provision. Yes, we pray for provision. Pray at times of need, yes. We'll get to some of those topics maybe in a bit. Just stick to why we pray at present. But you see, the list can grow. You're probably sitting there thinking, oh, there's another one. And Gordon's speaking now, so I'm not going to bring it. But there's so many different reasons we can bring up. If we looked up all the prayers in the Bible, so I'm told, because I went and searched this one out, there are maybe 650 specific prayers in the Bible. 650. It's massive. But on top of that, one writer also says that there's probably 1,900 references to prayer. So it's not just a one-off. It's not just something that, it's something in the Bible to think about. It's there right through the Bible. It's absolutely a grounding in everything we think about within the Bible. I reckon if you just allowed a minute to look up each one, that would be quite ambitious. And to read it, what's that? 650 minutes, that's nearly 7 hours. So if you bought your sandwiches today, we could do that. Or I'll just stick to my notes, okay? 7 hours just to read those references to specific prayers. Right, so I'll stick to my notes instead. I have to say my notes are quite scruffy, which is also the other challenge today, because I usually write them a lot neater. But anyway, let's go on. So, it has been busy, but there's no excuse for bad writing, as I tell others at work. Anyway, as we come to discuss why we pray, there's one or two questions I was raising before that. One of them is, what is prayer? What is prayer? Now, this would normally be one for Stu, because I don't do Greek, and so I haven't written out the Greek letters because I couldn't read them. But I believe the word in Greek for prayer is, you can help me here, prosukimai? Prosukumai? Okay, it is. I'll say it with authority then. The word in Greek for prayer is prosukumai. near enough. It translates as, literally translates as, to give thanks or to make requests. Right? To give thanks or to make requests. And we actually see there, the words, although it isn't the same as worship, the two are very closely linked. To give thanks, we've been worshipping today in song and in prayer and in words. And we've also been praying. And the two become intimately linked. They go hand in hand. Because we come humbly before our God to worship. And we come humbly before our God to pray. So we read in Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. I believe supplication means request. Is that right? Yeah. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. That was Philippians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 6. That's okay. I'll read them out anyway so you get them. I can give you these afterwards if you want as well. So when we come to pray, we actually need to come in that same attitude. The same attitude we should have in worship is the same attitude we should have when we come to pray. We come not big-headed. We're not making, statements. We're not being self-important. We're not trying to be arrogant. We're to come to God earnestly. We can come happy. We can come sad. We can come angry. We can come peacefully. But what we do is we come genuine, okay? When we come to pray, we come genuine. It's us. No point having a facade. It's nothing to do with God having a facade in front of you. He sees through that. He's looking at the real person. So he wants to talk to the real you. Right, as we come to these two points, there's one big question I wanted to tackle right before those. It's a question about why we pray, but it's a slightly different question, and it goes a bit like this. Why have you, Stu, why have you, Lisa, why have you, David, got the right to pray to a great, powerful God? Or, I guess it's more likely to be phrased like this, why with all your faults and all your failures, should you pray, and should anybody listen to you? That's how it might be worded. And if you get that sort of question for real, you need to recognize that this is a deception, okay? That is the sort of question that is a deception. It's dishonest. It's to be dismissed as it's a trick of the enemy. It's a trick of the devil to try and undermine you. We see something like it when Jesus, after Jesus' baptism, Jesus was led out into the desert, the Bible tells us, to be tempted by the devil. And he was tempted in three different ways. And we read in Matthew and one of the other Gospels too, these words. So firstly, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That's very important, because God's with Jesus, the Holy Spirit's with Jesus, okay? So the question immediately is a bit confounded, because God is with him. But in two of the three questions, the same question is asked. If you are the Son of God, twice he's asked that, if you are the Son of God, do this, or can you do that? And it's an attempt to bring doubt. It's an attempt to bring doubt into somebody's head, into Jesus' head himself. It's not a God question. God doesn't need to say, I'm big and you're nothing. At best, that's a human form of reasoning. And at worst, as I say, I believe that's demonic deception. somebody saying, why should you have any right? Why are you worth anything to be able to speak to God? Jesus' own teaching assumes that we pray. So right there, that's a defeated. He assumes that we pray, which takes us back to Matthew. Is that what I was doing originally? Matthew 6, verse 5. Matthew 6, just before I read what we call the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says this, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. That's people praying for show, okay? But the words at the beginning of that are, and when you pray. Not, oh, think about praying. Ah, right, I'll give you a reason to pray. It's an assumption by Jesus. You are in contact with God. You are therefore worth something to God because he is expecting that communication. He's expecting to speak to you in prayer. So right at the beginning, I wanted to tackle that point. It's not part of my main points of why we pray, but it is a deception that we can come across. Okay, that brings me to the first 2 points. The first of 2 points, rather. So the point of what I said was I've got points 1 and 2, but in each of those, I hope there's a little added value that can get us thinking a bit further about why we pray. We'll see how it goes. So firstly, point 1, it's not that we have to pray, it's that we should want to pray. Okay? It's not what we have to pray, it's that we should want to pray. Because we, as Christians, as we come to know Jesus, are on a journey with him. Because some people could say, quite legitimately, we are told to pray. And I've got three examples of that where you might think, well, we are actually told to pray. Matthew 7, verse 7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. This is all about asking and seeking in prayer. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. So ask. It sounds like a command. It sounds like, you know, ask. You've got to ask. Luke 18, verse 1. Jesus again, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. They ought always to pray and not lose heart. And then finally, 1 Thessalonians, verse 16 and 17. Rejoice always. I like that. That's a good start. Pray without ceasing. Now, if you took that literally, you wouldn't be here, and I wouldn't be here speaking to you, okay? So this wouldn't be a talk. If you took those words literally, you would not be doing anything else. Pray without ceasing. See, these are meant to be words of encouragement. They're not orders. And there's many more verses like that as well you could pick. If you took them out of context, you could think, I have to do it rather than I want to. And we look at that 1 Thessalonians again, which I've just said, and read it a bit more. You start to say, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. It's an encouragement. Why are we doing it? Because it's the will of God in Christ Jesus that we should come and pray, that we should be with him, that we should be encouraged, that we should know him fuller. We are encouraged to want to pray about all things, which we see in Philippians. Philippians, I may have just read this already, chapter 4, verse 6, yes, again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. To pray about everything. Ah, yes, that makes sense now. We're also encouraged, which is more difficult, we find, because it's a relationship thing, to pray for all people. And we see that in Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that supplications again, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. I urge you that your prayers be made for all people. But again, it's an encouragement. It's not an order, because in verse 3 it says, this is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Saviour. There's a purpose behind it. It's not just a blank command. There's a purpose there. So this, if you like, is one of our starting points, to learn to want to pray. But there's more to point one, as I said, than this. And this, I hope, is the added value bit. You may not want to wash, okay? You may not want to wash for a day, a week, ever, okay? So, you may get a bit smelly. So what? You will, you do. Apparently, as an aside, I was listening to a radio program, you do initially get a bit smelly and then it equalizes itself because all the bacteria in your body become what they should be and then you're okay. There's a guy in America who's actually doing this. And he's continuing to do it. I just wondered what it was like being with him in the studio when the guy was speaking to him. But apparently, he said, I gradually eased it out and I'm not washing. He's not washing at all. I don't think he was even doing his hair. So anyway, yeah, he thinks it's working, okay? Yeah, that's what I thought. According to him, he thinks it's working, okay? So, got a bit distracted, okay? The point is, people may not like it, but so what? If you can't be bothered, you can't be bothered. On the other hand, it's not a choice whether you breathe or not, okay? It's not that you want to breathe. It's that you need to breathe. And if anybody's ever passed out, and I passed out once, I think, in my life, and you still keep breathing, okay? I've been anaesthetized a few times. You still keep breathing. That's the very basis of it. It's not that you want to. It's that you need to. And this is an important way to start about thinking about prayer, okay? Yes, you can want to, but actually, more than that, you can need to pray. The reason you need to pray, it's for a full and satisfying life with God, okay? If we look at Matthew 7 again, which I read a moment ago. Matthew 7 again. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. You're not asking, you're not seeking, you're not knocking. Well, you're not seeing God's purposes. You see, as I said, it's a journey wanting to walk with God. It is a journey, it's a relationship. And as you go on that relationship, and this is something I'm just learning, I'm really just learning that you need to pray. Prayer changes us. It doesn't change God. He's the constant. He's the constant. It changes us. God's will be done. Okay? His will be done. He desires to do his will through us. I find that a biggie, and especially with the church building. He desires to do his will through us. But the thing is, his will be done. And he will do it in spite of us. And the sad part about that is, if he does it in spite of us, we don't see the glory. We don't see what he's up to. We're the bystander. I got a little illustration of it. It's like running a race to a lion, and I need one other person to give me a hand. Unfortunately, we're not in an ideal hall for this. So if we start over here, right, due to seniority and all that, Stu's going to be God, and I'm going to be the person praying, okay? So if we're praying, we're walking to that wall, by the way, and stopping. So we're walking to that wall. This is us praying and having an interaction. I'm talking to God. God's talking to me. And we are getting to the same point together, okay? And I'm walking and I'm that conversation. Right, so go back to the beginning again for consistency. On the other hand, you're still walking to that wall, by the way, whatever I say. On the other hand, keep going. God's purpose and his will is going to be done, but now I am not walking with him. His purpose has still been achieved, but now I am a bystander. I've not seen the glory along the way because I'm not with him. I'm not praying with him. I'm not walking in that relationship. Thank you. But finally, if you have any doubt that he wants that relationship, that he wants to do it with you rather than in spite of you, we could look up, you know, one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not die but should have eternal life. Not that, oh, he quite liked it, oh, he thought it might be a good idea. He so loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his son. It was a big give. It was a big project to undertake. We're looking at a little project, a present. But God's eternal project was that he would give his son, that he loved us so much. So that's what he wants. He wants to draw you into that, to be part of his kingdom, to walk with him in that relationship. That's point one. We should want to pray, but we actually need to pray. Right. Point two, very simply. Rhys might get a shock if we finish very soon, but there we are. We pray, I think it's something Carter said, we pray for specific reasons. We have pressing questions. We may have worries or problems. If you don't have worries or problems or pressing questions, please let me know and I'll give you some, okay? Because you can have mine. Okay. Right. From a moment ago, we know we are actually, we are encouraged to bring our request to God. I read Philippians chapter 4 a few moments ago. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God in everything. We're actually encouraged to do that. Now, you can bring your questions and your concerns to other people. You know, and it's right we share as a fellowship. There are those who have the experience and the wisdom and the professional backgrounds, like Stu, to answer some of these questions, like Dave, from years of knowing the Lord, that you can take the questions to, and you can discuss them through. But don't use it as a substitute for not going to God and praying and taking it to him. That's what these verses say. Do not be anxious about everything, anything, but in everything by prayer. As I said a moment ago, you can come angry, you can come sad, happy, whatever mindset you come in genuine to God. You know, God's big enough to be shouted at. You know, what's a shout to somebody who created the universe and has seen all things and knows the hearts of men? You know, God knows the hearts of men. What I probably don't say in this talk, because it's a big subject, is what one of the writers I mentioned earlier, the one who said I had 50 reasons. Well, he said, I did a study, and I looked at these prayers, these 450 prayers. I said, what struck me, he said, was in these prayers, who was doing most of the talking and who was listening? And I said, what struck me was God was doing the talking most of the time, and the person praying was doing the listening. And then he said, you know, I looked at what I was doing in my prayer life, and I said, I got the balance wrong. I'm talking all the time, and God's in listening mode. So that's the balance, maybe, Carl. Yes, you can bring it. You can bring it whatever frame of mind you're in, but you have to give space then for God to speak and God to speak into your mind, into your heart, into your situation. And I said, I haven't written that down, so I'm glad you said that, because I just remember what this fella said. You've got to get the balance right. If you're talking, it's a two-way conversation. You need to be listening as well. We'd even have specific prayers. I said specific reasons to pray could be quite intense ones, including spiritual warfare, specifically guarding us against the devil. We read in Ephesians. Chapter 6 is about is a picture of putting on armor in spiritual warfare to protect us from the enemy and to overcome, actually for God to overcome. And verse 18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. We keep alert with all perseverance, making prayers for all the saints. There's two things in that. One I wasn't going to touch on. It's about praying for others. But there can sometimes be that specific reason, because the Bible tells us we're not fighting against flesh and blood, against each other ultimately. We're fighting against spiritual forces. We're fighting against spiritual evil. And that's what this is about. Praying at all times in the Spirit, God's Spirit, with all prayers. It's a war out there. And it is a very big reason, which is not time to go into today, that we need to be praying. I also Googled point, because, of course, we do that nowadays, don't we? You know, we can get commentaries, but I'm not a great reader. So you can Google it as well. So I Googled this specific point, you know, the specific reasons we pray, to see what the Bible said. It's a bit of a funny thing to say, isn't it? You Google to see what the Bible says, but it's just one of those things that speeds up my preparation. But in Googling it, I realized point two had to go further as well, just like point one, you know, we want to pray and we need to pray. Well, when I Googled this and thought there are specific reasons we're told to pray, I actually got something else out of it. And here's what it was. Here's what I learned. Yes, we pray to God for specific reasons, but more fundamentally, we pray to God because he is the specific reason. Okay? So we can pray for specific reasons. It sounds a bit deep, doesn't it? We pray for specific reasons, but we pray to God because he is a specific reason. So what do I mean by that, okay? Whatever we ask, if we only look to the results, okay? If we ask a question, we ask something in prayer, the answer can be good for us. The answer can be bad for us if we're looking at the problem, or the answer can be just the same, okay? And the bad can disappoint us, okay? And the good can actually distract us. Oh, I've seen the answer. But if we ask the question and our main focus is on God, not the question, our main focus starts with God, then whatever the outcome is, we're still being drawn closer to God. It could be good, it could be bad in worldly terms, it could be indifferent, but the answer is not our focus, God is our focus. One of the psalmists put it like this. One of the psalms, Psalm 28, starts like this. In a number of the psalms, you get real earnest questions being asked. Real, my life's in danger, my life's in threat. And it sounds like a big question being asked. But the psalmists start like this, and many of them start this sort of way. To you, Lord, I call my rock. Be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help. And it goes on like this. before he's even getting to a request, the writer is focusing on God. He's focusing on God, who is able to deal with the request. It may not be how he expected it. As I said, good, bad, indifferent. But he's focused on God. And the same way, another psalm, Psalm 143, starts like this. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ears to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness. He's going to have a plea here. He's going to have a plea for mercy, but his focus is on the Lord. Hear my prayer in your faithfulness, in your righteousness. His focus is starting with God. And so you don't just think it's an Old Testament thing. If I go to Hebrews, we have it very clearly put like this. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, draw near to God, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Draw near first. Yes, you may have the question, but draw near first. Draw near. Draw near that you can be near God when you ask the question, when you seek help, when you ask the request. So that's basically point two. I haven't finished yet, but that's point two, okay? Why we pray? We have a specific reason, but we have an overall reason, which is our focus, to focus on God. Whatever we ask, whatever we seek, and therefore to trust in his judgment. So we're walking side by side, as I was doing the illustration with Stu. We've got the opportunity to trust his judgment. There's many more points. We came up with more points than I've just made, okay? As to why we pray. Now, we mentioned some, and there's, as I said, Google it again. If you want the internet, it's always good fun to see 7 reasons why, 19 reasons why, 50 reasons why is quite long. Here's a few that we've covered in part here, or we may not have covered. Helping us to overcome temptation. Okay? I'm not going into any of these, but here's a few reasons why, just 6 of them, I think. Why do we pray? To determine God's will. Why do we pray? Accomplish God's works. Why do we pray? I think I mentioned this. It changes us. Why do we pray? It gets God's will done on earth. Not that we're demanding it, but we see God's will done. God's will is done through us, and he does answer what we ask. And he may change some aspect of what he's doing, even though his plan's still going that way, as I said. But he's not going to do it if we're not asking, because we're not wanting to be involved. And the last point, because ultimately we need God. And there's more of those. But I want to end with that last point. We need God. We pray because we're Christians, because we know we need God. And we sing a song sometimes. What band is? Jesus, Lamb of God, same group. Deluge. There's a song we sing sometimes which says, open up the sky, fall down like rain. We don't want blessings, we want you. And I would also say, we need you. I think that's a lovely line in the song. It's not the blessings we're looking for. That's the blessings God pours out anyway, but we need him. We actually need the privilege of prayer. And it's a privilege. You know, God wants us to be in that contact, but he doesn't need us. He wants us. That's a great point. You know, a great almighty God that doesn't actually need us around and has decided to have us around is mind-blowing. So three P's, as I called it. We have the privilege of prayer. We have the power of prayer. And so I could make it three P's. We also need the practice of prayer to build that relationship with God. It's a relationship that honors him. And it's a relationship he uses to build his kingdom through us. And the reason I want to end on this point is we've got quite a specific challenge at present. We, in the next few months, we will be building the Tabor Centre. Okay, we'll have contractors to do it, you know. You don't necessarily have to lay bricks, unless you're really good at it, because we could use you. Okay? But we're building the Tabor Centre, and this may be a good opportunity. It's a focus, but it's not the focus. It may be a good opportunity for us as a church to learn to pray more deeply, to know God more deeply, so that we can show others the difference that praying makes. We can show others the difference that praying makes to the glory of God, to the glory of Jesus. We can show them the difference it makes to us, but primarily the difference it makes as we see the glory of Jesus and the glory of God the Father. Amen.